And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Some of you have asked about Linda. She is in Conroe visiting her grandson. Her grandson just started walking, so I don't know if they wanted her to come and see them or if her son and daughter-in-law wanted some help chasing him all over the house. But anyway, she has gone this weekend to be with Henry in Conroe, and I know you miss her, and trust me, I miss her even more. You know, with these new phones, she can send a text. She sends probably 10 different texts every day to me, and every one of the texts has a picture of Henry. You know, this is Henry doing this, and this is Henry doing that, and this is Henry going here, Henry going there. So finally, last night, I sent her a text with a selfie of me. I said, this is Shan sitting on the couch watching television. Well, that was the last one I got, so maybe she got the message from me. Colton read our reading from Romans chapter 10. He concluded with verse 15, but I would like to back all the way up to verse 1 and get a running start at our introduction. Paul begins this marvelous 10th chapter of Romans talking about love of souls. Now specifically, he mentions his love for his nation of Israel, but actually the context is all souls. And then he talks about the superiority of Jesus' teaching over that of the Old Testament. And that if the Jews want to be saved, they're going to have to come through Jesus Christ, not to rely on the Old Testament. And then I believe the strongest part of this particular chapter is where Paul writes about God's love for souls. All souls matter. God doesn't look at nationalities. God doesn't look at color. God doesn't look at gender or anything else like that. God just looks at the soul. He sees a soul that he wants to save, and because of his love, he has done that. And in that connotation, Paul goes on to say that it is impossible to believe the truth if we have not heard the truth. And then as Colton read the last verse, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. Now, brethren, I'm really not intending on being silly. I'm not certainly not trying to detract from my lesson. But Paul talks about beautiful feet. And brethren, sometimes feet stink. You know, if you talk to a doctor will say that we have all these sweat glands down around our feet and ankles, and when we constrict those sweat glands in our socks, and especially if we put that foot into a leather shoe, sometimes they're not so beautiful. But Paul says that you and I, have beautiful feet if we use our feet to carry us to the spreading of the gospel of peace. Now hold that thought, Jesus's beautiful feet. In Luke chapter 10, we find a time that Jesus is traveling to Bethany. Bethany is most famous because that is the hometown of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And those are three of Jesus' best friends. And we read in verse 40 that when Martha hears that Jesus is on his way, she sends word that she wants him to come and pay them a visit. But in verse 39, when Jesus is there, we find that Mary, now that's Martha's younger sister, is not helping Martha get everything ready. She's not there at all. Instead, she's in the room where Jesus is, where the disciples are. She's sitting at his feet. She's sitting at his beautiful feet, listening to him as he preaches the gospel of peace. And then we read a little bit further down, verse 40 and 41, where Martha complains to Jesus. And with great compassion, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, You are troubled and upset over many things, but Mary has chosen that good part. You're troubled, you're upset, you've got all these things to do, but Mary has chosen that good part. And choosing that good part cannot be taken away from her. You know, brethren, in the gospel, we find that amazing things happened at Jesus' feet, and no one knows that better than Mary of Bethany. Several times she is mentioned, several times she is at the feet of Jesus, and it seems that every time she is there, something amazing happens. Now let's stay in in Luke chapter 10. Jesus' response, but one thing is needful. Martha, one thing is needful. You're taking care of all these other things, but one thing is needful. That's what Mary has chosen, that needful thing. Now, brethren, I can only speak for myself, but I actually identify more with Martha than I do with Mary, at least in this story. If someone's coming to see me, or someone's coming up to the office, or if I'm going to meet someone somewhere, I want to make sure that everything's ready. You know, I want to clean my office or clean the house. I want to make sure everything is ready. I want new towels in the restroom. I want everything to be ready. That's the way I relate to Martha in this particular story. But brethren, I think, and I am admitting, that maybe I'm making a mistake. Just like Martha was making a mistake. I think we're making a mistake if we do not take opportunity to develop a disciple heart like Mary. A disciple heart, a servant heart, a student heart, wanting to know the teaching of Jesus, wanting to hang on His every word, wanting to digest everything that He has. A heart like Mary will lead us to the beautiful feet of Jesus and listening to Him preach the gospel of peace. Now the King James says that Martha was cumbered. I like that word, cumbered. It just sounds good coming out of the mouth. Cumbered. Cumbered in this context means distracted by her many tasks. When she heard that Jesus was coming to town, she straightened the house. She probably arranged for more furniture. She went and purchased food. She's been preparing the food. She's been arranging. She's been asking some of the sisters to come and help her. She's even been asking Mary to help her. Mary won't listen to her. She's just on and on, just hectic, hectic, just here and there. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, brethren? You know, all of our lives are hectic, sometimes more than others, but all of our lives are hectic. Every one of us has a to-do list. It's a mile long, and it will always be that long. Heard a conversation one time about a preacher that was talking about how on Sunday morning it's so hectic, and trust me, all day Sunday is hectic for a preacher. But Sunday morning was so hectic, he was trying to get everybody to church early enough to make sure if anything was wrong, he could correct it. He was just upset and anxious. And finally, his wife, who was very wise, said, I tell you what, let's do. Next Sunday morning, let's change positions. Change places. You get up early and fix breakfast. You get the kids up, feed them their breakfast, get them bathed, get them dressed, and I'll go sit in the car honking the horn. Brethren, have you ever thought that maybe Jesus was telling Martha that she was too cumbered? And have you ever thought that maybe Jesus is telling us that our lives are too cumbered, that our lives are too easily distracted? Have you ever thought that maybe Jesus is telling us that we need to slow down, take a breath, smell the roses? Maybe Jesus was telling Martha the same thing that God told David in Psalm 46, verse 10. Just be still and know that I am God. But brethren, it's not easy to be still. Trust me, it's not easy to be still. In order to be still, We have to change our focus. And that was a problem that Martha was having. Now, Mary didn't have that problem. She was focused on Jesus. Martha was having trouble focusing. Martha was worried about the tasks, and Mary was thinking about the teaching. Martha was worried about the jobs, and Mary was worried about the Lord. Martha was worried and distracted about many things. And Mary discovered that good thing. And Jesus said no one would take that away from her. Now, I want to make a point. It's almost going to sound like I'm anti-Martha, which I'm not. I've already said I relate to Martha. But Martha had opened her house to Jesus. But it almost seems that she hadn't opened her heart to Jesus. In her eagerness to serve Jesus, she almost missed an opportunity to know Jesus. Are you getting my point? Jesus spoke as no one else has ever spoken. There is a joy in his presence. There is a magnetism in his teaching, as if his teaching has life itself. And Mary chose that good part. Mary chose to be at the feet of Jesus, hanging on his every word, digesting his every thought. And Jesus said, that's the good part, and that will not be taken away from her. Choosing to sit at Jesus' feet. I want to get real personal for a second, and I think I've earned that. I've been here 15 years. I know you. You are my family. I want to get very personal. Brothers and sisters, how is your relationship with Jesus? I'm not talking about attendance. We'll talk about that some other time. I'm not talking about your giving. We'll talk about that some other time. I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about the quality time that you sit at Jesus' feet. I'm talking about the quality time that you sit at Jesus' feet meditating and digesting his every word. I'm talking about the quality time that you spend studying his word. You do that, don't you? That's the relationship we're talking about. That's the one thing that matters. Jesus calls that the good thing. The one thing that matters is knowing Jesus and having a fellowship with him, having a relationship with him. Paul would say it this way to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is in God by faith. And another translation says, I once thought those things were valuable, but now I realize they are not. Brethren, I want a heart like Mary. I want to be found sitting at Jesus' feet. I want to know what his word says to me. I want to know what I need to do to make him happy. I want to know what I need to do or not do that makes him sad. I want a disciple heart. I want to choose that good part. I want to choose things that are eternal, even if it means leaving things that are good or necessary or needed out. I want to dwell on my eternity. I want to lay up for myself treasures in heaven, not on earth. In heaven, they're reserved for me, and I will never lose them. I want to find Mary's heart. I want to choose that good part. Now, who was this lesson actually for? It was not for Mary. It was not for the disciples. Yes, it was for Martha. But brethren, I believe even more so, it was for us. You see, Jesus said, Martha, you're upset and you're troubled. And brethren, we know that never gets us anywhere. Mary chose the good part. Did she hear Martha when she called? Probably so. But it didn't matter. She knew where she wanted to be. Tonight at the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to study another lesson that finds Mary at the feet of Jesus. And I hope you'll be here for that. We conclude our lesson this morning by reading from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. This is when God's people were acknowledging God. This song will be sung. We have a strong city. We have salvation. And God will anoint for us walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep them in perfect peace. Those whose mind is stayed on you because they trust in you. Our trust is in God. Now, technically, in order to put our trust in God, we need to be in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And I think everyone here probably knows how we get into Christ. The Bible is very simple. We hear, believe what we hear, turn away from our sins, acknowledge Jesus as Savior, and be baptized, which is for the remission of sins. Now, I think everyone probably agrees with the first four of those, but Jesus is emphatic when he says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's exactly what Peter and the other apostles preached on the day of Pentecost. When stopped almost in mid-sermon, saying, men and brethren, you've convinced us of our guilt. What do we have to do to remove that guilt from our souls? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if there is someone here today who needs to respond in order to be baptized, or if for some other reason, it's the Lord that calls. If you need to, won't you come forward now as we stand and sing number 286.